أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance, and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Al-Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessing of Almighty Allah be with you all. The topic that's been chosen for me is under the title, If You Love Allah, So Follow the Prophet. If you love Allah, so follow the Prophet. And before I get to the lecture, why do we love Allah? Did you ever ask yourself this question? Let's establish the fact and say that we already, inshallah, alhamdulillah, that we love Allah. But why do you love Allah? Does anybody have an answer? Alright, we have two people raise their hands. Alright, let me give you some kind of introduction. When you taste a kind of food, or you see some kind of beautiful flowers, or some kind of dessert, or a house, something attracts you to something, okay? Or somebody, or something, food, drink, house, a suit, a dress, whatever it is, and right away you come with this expression, oh, look at this, I love it. It has to be something in this thing, or in this person, or this house, or whatever it is, it make you do such expression. Is this correct? Is this true? Maybe close enough? There is at least two reasons that we love Allah for, or we should be loving Allah for. One which is very common to be known to everybody. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, being the Rabb of all the alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when somebody or someone give you something for free, and he continues giving you something regardless, he said thank you or not, you expecting it or not, you have a choice except to love this person. See, brothers, subhanallah, even before we come to this life, you found the favor and the blessings of Allah been bestowed to us and for us. Even before we come to this life, somebody say, what are you talking about? What kind of a favor or a blessing that Allah gave me and I was not even in existence yet? Before you come to this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He had appointed two people to love you, to care for you, to protect you with their own life, your own parents. Before even you come to this life, they pray for your existence. And when you, in your way to your existence, they're so happy waiting for this moment that you come to this life. And the moment that you are in this life, they're so happy. And if any little thing happened to you, they're willing to give their wealth, their life, everything for your safety. Is this true or not? And this is your parents. So before even you come to this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His blessings upon you by making a father and mother for you, to be waiting in for your arrival and to be surrounded you for every moment. All what you need, only a little cry, your mother will jump from the best of her sleep to be there for you. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He put this love in their heart and make them, they do it with love. You may later on, when you are older, you will serve them, but not with the same kind of love. Okay? They will serve you, will take care of you, and they'll be willing to give their own life to save your life. But when your parents get older, you get so tired of them that sometimes you're thinking in your mind, when they're going to be leaving this life so you can get rid of this problem. As a result of this, you found some, we don't want to say Muslims, but it happened very bad to know even Muslims start to do this. When their parents get older, they put them in an older people's house. And this is very bad. So what we try to say in a short word, we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because the bestower, He is the al-mun'im, that He is al-mu'ti, He is the giver. He been giving you from day one, and even before day one and before your existence, He been giving you for free. What return you can give to Allah when you was a baby, a child, or even after you get older? What you can do for Allah or give back to Allah? Out of Allah's mercy and because the generosity of Allah, He's been giving everybody, even the kafir, He's giving him. He's still saying that Allah has a son and Allah is still feeding him and giving him to drink. Can you see the blessings of Allah surrounded you? Look to the air that you breathe. Alright? What you breathe it day and night, sleeping or awake. And how much do you pay for it? Nothing. Can you imagine if this air equal to the gas for the car? Although you know that the air is more important than the gas, but we are not paying attention to it because we're getting it day and night for free. Is this correct or not? And the price keep going up and up and up. And after this, some of us could not pay for some air to breathe. What's going to happen to you? Subhanallah. This is not the mercy of Allah. So we love Allah, number one, okay, not actually in order, but one of the reasons that we love Allah, because His generosity, because His favor that He bestows in us day and night for free, no return, no return. Can we agree about it? Can we deny the favor of Allah? Can we ignore the blessings of Allah? And Allah is saying what? وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to number the favor and the blessings of Allah, no way you can count them. No way. Do you know when you have trouble to breathe, how much will cost for every day you are in intensive care? Subhanallah. We've been breathing day and night for how many years? Some of us even are not thinking about it. So one of the reasons that we love Allah, and Allah deserves to be loved, because the ni'am and the blessings and the favor that is given us. But I want to get your attention to something more greater than this. You love Allah because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah, i.e. the one who is qualified with all attributes, all qualities, all good and beautiful names, and no one else other than Allah possesses this. Maybe it's a little bit higher meaning to try to understand. Like when you see somebody say, oh, this man is handsome, or this man is clean, or this woman is beautiful. So it's because what is the nature, or the way how they talk, okay, you love it. You could not help it. Say, I fell in love with this woman. I fell in love with this man. How handsome he is. How respectable he is. How clean she is. You see? So you love things because what it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, is Ar-Rahim, is Al-Malik, is Al-Quddus, is Al-Salam, is Al-Muhaymin, is Al-Aziz, is Al-Jabbar. You can look to your wall and keep going. Look to all these beautiful names, and with every name it's telling you something about Allah. Allah is Al-Awwal. He's the first without beginning. He's the last without end. No one before Allah, and nothing can be before Allah. He's the originator of all things. Can you see the uniqueness of Allah? See this. Allah is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, most compassionate, most merciful. And only to take idea, only a basic idea about Allah is Rahmah and Allah is mercy. Allah said He divides the mercy to 100 parts. He divides the mercy to how many? 100 parts. He sent in the earth only one portion, subhanallah, only one part. For who? For the human being, for the animal, for the jinn, for all the creation and the creature of Allah to share only one portion. Subhanallah, this is only one portion. Even the animals, a donkey, a cow, will lift and move her foot out of fear that it may hurt her baby. Even the animals have a portion of this mercy. Now can you imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can you try to figure Almighty Allah, who the one who possesses the 99% of this mercy? All what you see, how your mother cares for you, how you're so kind towards your children, how everything, all this, all what you see and all what you know about it, is nothing except a drop out of the ocean, out of Allah's mercy. So what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah jameel, yuhibbul jamal." Indeed, Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. We can sit until tomorrow morning talking only about Allah and the qualities of Allah. You could not help it except what? To love Allah, because He's Allah, and because His quality and His names and His attributes. Nothing can be more beautiful than Allah. Nothing can be more wise than Allah. No one can be more knowledgeable or wise than Allah, as individual or collectively. Can you imagine if you put all our knowledge, not us sitting in this room here, all the knowledge of the human being, all the knowledge that you put it in your hard drive, in all the computers, and you bring the knowledge of the angels and the jinn and the human being and all the things for those people who die and the people who live and the people who want to come, all these things, there's no way you can compare it to Allah's knowledge. And He is Al-Alim, the knower. He knows the past as well as the future, as well as the present, and all this to Him is equal. It's not He understands the knowledge of tomorrow, or let me think. Not with Allah. What you going to do tomorrow? I didn't decide. I still try to make my schedule. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of yesterday, today, tomorrow, the day of judgment, is equal to Him. If you only sit down and try to think about Allah and who is Allah and the qualities of Allah and the names of Allah and the attributes of Allah, you could not help it except to love Allah. And that the love of Allah has to be the greatest of all kind of love that you have in your life or you ever experience. Do we understand this, brothers? Now we understand why we have no choice except love Allah. How you could not love Allah and He's the most generous? You know, sometimes He didn't get up to make fajr and He's still giving you a rizq. How sometimes you understand you do things intentionally that you are not supposed to do and is still covering your fault? How you could not love Him? Subhanallah. Huh? This is only two issues that you need to think about it. And the more you read in the Quran, the more you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know who is Allah. And one of the most important things, because we shifted our subject for today, that look how He's so concerned about you. He created you, but He didn't leave you alone, because He is Al-Hadi. He is what? Al-Hadi subhanahu wa ta'ala. He, the one who guides. He didn't leave you like this going astray. He sent books, He sent revelation, He sent the prophets, commissioned messengers, and continuing giving you so you can be guided, because Allah wants you to go to Jannah. He doesn't want you to go to hellfire. He didn't send Adam or Noah and this was it, we'll be lost. Okay? But not too long ago, 1400 years ago approximately, was the last prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Injil, the Torah, the Zabur, Suhuf Ibrahim, Musa, disappear, all the things corrupted. Okay, He sent another one. You see, this is the mercy of Allah. And was not this only, but He promised to what? To protect and reserve the last revelation, the Quran, the last revelation. Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun. Is that now, Ustaz Akhi? Or since I start?
No.
You sure? Okay, alhamdulillah. You see? So you can see the generosity of Allah. You can see the mercy of Allah. You can see the goodness of Allah.
how you can, how can or how you dare that you can ignore Allah or to turn away from Allah or not to love Allah. So we agree, all of us, that we know, have no choice except to love Allah. Is this true, Yusuf? Yes. يلا مع السلامة. مجيش تاني. يلا الحمد لله أنا جبت واحدة يسبيع يعني. Is this true, my brother? But we can sit and talk about love, but there is a fake love and there is a real love. We can say, yes brother, I love Allah, but now Allah is telling us the real love. Is this correct or not? Especially living in a place like America, the word love is used very loose. To such a degree became, I love New York, I love Philadelphia, I love my mom, I love, I understand, whatever it is, anything I understand now, wearing t-shirt, I love this, I love this, I love this. So became this love is so cheap. Alright? And sometimes I understand some people, they don't think about their mothers or their father except once a year, the Father Day, Mother Day. So they take, understand this card, okay, I love you mom, and this is it. But the whole year they don't even think about their mom. So in reality there is something called fake love and real love. Somebody acts that he loves, and somebody really true love. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what is the real love and how and how you really can love Allah. Because it's not enough that you go to the bus station and you get into the bus and say, I'm going to Chicago. Because when you go to the bus station, there is many buses there. Is this true? So if you do not take the real bus, you are not going to Chicago. You're going to be waste your time, your money, and after 14 hours, hey, what's going on? I'm not in Chicago, but I'm in the bus. Yeah, brother, but you took the wrong bus. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. So the real love is expressed in the Quran. Allah is telling us about the real love. تمام طيب أنا طلعت أشطر منك. I was smarter than you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, say, if you really love Allah, if you really love Allah, so follow me, i.e. the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the condition. Now don't tell Allah I love you, and don't make a t-shirt tomorrow and you have I love Allah, I love Islam. Stop playing. Do you really love Allah? Prove it. Stop writing on t-shirts and in the walls, I love Allah and I love the sunnah, okay, sunnah lover and all kind of stuff. Demonstrate it. They say in America what? Action louder than what? Oh, exactly. So Allah say, if you really love Allah, if you really love Allah, follow me. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you really love Allah, so follow me, i.e. the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the condition. Follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow the aqidah and the understanding of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning his Lord, concerning Yawm al-Qiyamah, concerning the predestination, concerning the angels, concerning the Jannah, concerning the hellfire. Follow me in the aqidah, follow me in the akhlaq, follow me in the adab, follow me in the discipline, follow me in my ibadah, in my salah, in my hajj, in my prayer. Do everything like me. Follow me. He didn't specify to say follow me. That means general, everything. You love Allah, follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Take the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything. What is going to be the result? If you really were able to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have two things. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. And this is, you need a little bit thinking here. Allah will love you. So we understood already in the beginning of the talk, why do we love Allah? Is it? But why Allah will love us? Do we provide anything to Allah? Do you think when we're going to fast Ramadan, this will increase the wisdom or the kingdom of Allah? Do you think the seven heaven will be eight after we fast Ramadan? Huh? We understand that we love Allah because His ni'mah, His blessings. But what are we contributing to Allah for Allah to love us? Does Allah need us? Allah is saying, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيمُ إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. سبحان الله. All mankind, not Muslims, not Arab, not American, say, all mankind, all of you are in desperate need to Allah. Who doesn't need Allah? The jinn, the angels, the human beings, the ants, everything is dependent on Allah. Even the samawat wal ard, the heaven and the earth, everything in existence stand and perform because Allah maintain it. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stop maintain it for 1 second, it will collapse. Allah doesn't need us, but we need Allah. Say, oh mankind, all of you are in this for need, in poverty, for needs for Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani al-hamid. He's the self-sufficient. And He is the one worthy of all praise. If He will, Almighty Allah, He will remove you all. He will get rid of you all. And not this only, وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. And He will bring about a new generation or new creation. And He's telling us, وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. So don't think, you understand, removing you and bringing other people is too mighty for Allah. He said, and this is not too mighty for Allah. So why He leaving us? Because His generosity, His patience, as-sabur, because He is al-ghafoor, because He is al-hamid. Subhanallah. Can you see the generosity and the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can you see it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, it doesn't need us. But Allah, He say, I will love you. Allah saying, what Yusuf? I will love you. When you follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call in Jibreel, Ya Jibreel, inni uhibbu fulanan fa'ahibba. Jibreel, I love so and so. Can you imagine if Allah call your name in the seven heaven? Subhanallah, brother. May Allah give us this kind of status, inshallah. Say ameen, yes. Can you imagine Allah will call your name in the seven heaven? I'm calling in Jibreel and said to Jibreel, I love so and so. So, love him. So Jibreel, fadal ya. So Jibreel will love him. And Jibreel will do what? Jibreel will call on the dweller of the heaven, the angel. And you know how crowded are the sky. How many thousands and thousands and thousands of angels. Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur, which is something like the Kaaba, but in the heaven, and that the angels make tawaf like we make tawaf. Every day, 70,000 angels, they enter the well-maintained and established house, make it Hajj every day. They will enter to visit this house. 70,000 angels every day, they enter, they never come back, and another 70,000. Subhanallah. Every day, brothers, 70,000 angels entering the Bayt al-Ma'mur to visit, and they leave, they don't come back again, another 70,000. So Jibreel will call in the dweller of the heaven. Indeed, Allah loves so and so to love him. Allah loves so and so to love him, so the angels will love him. And when the angels love him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the acceptance for him. وَضِعَ لَهُ الْقَبُولِ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Came to Yusuf. Talk to Allah. شوف لك حد تاني ايه. بان عايز سعيد مالك. ما شاء الله. Allah, when he loved him, and now Jibreel loved him, and the angels love him, now the acceptance will be put in the air. Now, you will find the people welcoming you. They're ready to sit with you. They want to deal with you. Okay? Because al-qabool, acceptance, been put for you. Subhanallah. But we still, do we really deserve this honor? Do we deserve this honor that Allah loves us? But Allah make it easy for you. He told you, your way for me to love you, follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahi, brothers, subhanallah, sometimes I'm so surprised, what is the problem with us? And I start with myself before anybody. What really is the problem with us? To follow the Prophet, you be loved by Allah. But some Muslims, they insist to be different from the Prophet. They insist not to follow the Prophet. They insist to fabricate and add it to the deen of Islam. I don't know why. Allah says, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, and they say, فَخَالِفُونِي. Allah says, follow the Prophet, and they go different from the Prophet. The Prophet do it like this, they will do it like this. If the Prophet do it like this, they will do it like this. But somebody was telling me something so amazing yesterday. He's telling me about some place here in Philadelphia. People going crazy nowadays, some of the people going crazy. Doing all kinds of crazy. They're doing something called what? Body parts or a body modification or something like this. And telling me about that, they cut their tongue in the middle so somebody can move his two pieces together. And somebody cut his ear and start to put a ring, a bigger ring, until he can put a can of Pepsi in it. Believe it or not, if Islam comes and tell you do something like this, you will run away from Islam. But when the shaitan whispering to the people to do crazy things, they're ready to do it. Amazing. Amazing jahiliyyah, man. Amazing the jahiliyyah. People willing to do anything, even cutting their parts of their body, putting nails and screws and rings in their eye, in their tongue. Even Muslim women. Subhanallah, what's wrong? Muslim women going in front of kuffar, exposing her stomach, so the kafir woman or the kafir man can put a ring in her belly button or her navel or in her, wherever she wants to put it. What crazy. Nothing in Islam that's so hard. Nothing in Islam beyond our ability. But we find a lot of Muslims, they run away from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look to our youngest generation. Most of the teenagers, boys, when you tell them the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grow his beard and order us and command us to grow our beard, most of them, they don't grow their beard. But when the fashion became having a beard, they will have a beard. I don't understand what this mentality. So it's okay to do it as a fashion, but it's not okay to do it as a sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? I wish somebody can explain this to me. Why? And how the people know that you're doing it as a fashion or you're doing it as a religion? So what's wrong if you grow your beard as a government? I'm not saying that the whole Islam is the beard, but I'm saying how crazy that when the Prophet do something and telling us do something, we drag our feet. Some of us drag their feet to do it. But when the kuffar do it, that is not a big deal, we can do it. And sometimes the kuffar doing certain things under name of fashion that is causing pain and takes time to heal, and we're ready to do it. It's amazing how you can know that Allah will love you if you follow the Prophet and you keep turning away. It's amazing. You see? Amazing. The second thing, if you follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah will forgive you. Allah will forgive you. يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. Allah will love you and forgive for you your sins. Who among us without a sin? Who among us without a sin? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he say, إني لا أستغفر الله وأتوب إليه في اليوم أكثر من 100 مرة. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. He is the Prophet of Allah, and he say, I seek Allah's forgiveness and repent to Him every day 100 or more than 100 times. Subhanallah. If the Prophet doing this, what about me and you? Subhanallah. But you will be granted forgiveness for your sins if you follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how we can beg our feet of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Again, don't misunderstand me, brother. Following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a full commitment. Following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not mean only have the siwak, grow your beard, shorten yourself. We want to understand everything about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how did he worship his Lord. Because it's not a matter of I put my hand like this or I put it like this. Islam is much greater than a beard and put your hand like this. Some people, they focus in one side of Islam. All what they do, face veil. Or what they care, and all the debates about the face veil, is it obligatory or optional? But the rest of Islam, some Muslims, they're so concerned about is it a zabiha or not? Is it halal meat or not? But guess what? They don't pray. It's amazing, man. It's crazy, really, Yusuf. Can you believe this? I don't believe it myself, you understand? It's so amazing. Somebody concerned about halal meat, alright, and at the same time he doesn't pray. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that the difference between a Muslim and a kafir is abandoning the prayer. So how a person concerned about, brother, is it zabiha or not? Is it halal or not? Is it kosher or not? And after this, he doesn't make salah. You're abandoning the prayer. You're turning yourself to a kufr wal-iyadu billah. So we have to understand when Allah says fattabi'uni, follow me, follow the Prophet, is a whole commitment. It starts with the aqidah, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all the articles of belief. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the revelation of the Quran, and in the Quran at least 7 times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says الرحمن على العرش استوى, the most magnificent one, the most compassionate one, Allah, upon the throne he had established himself. If Allah said this and the Prophet read this and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam believed this, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله. The Prophet believed in Allah, and believing in Allah, believing in His oneness, in His attributes, in His names, in His qualities, in anything related to Allah, you have to believe in it. We don't have one single hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh, he established himself in the throne, no, istawla is not istawa. We don't have this in the hadith. And Allah revealed to him ar-Rahmanu ala al-arsh istawa. And because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established himself on the throne in a manner that fits with his majesty, he's telling us إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِئَةَ دَرَجَةِ أَعَدَّهَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى الْمُجَاهِدِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ. فَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةِ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ فَإِنَّهَا أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَأَوْسَطُ الْجَنَّةِ وَفَوْقَهَا عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَنِ. He translates the ayah and gives us in the hadith the same understanding, saying, indeed in Jannah there are 100 levels. Allah has prepared for the mujahideen in Allah's cause. So if, and the highest place of Jannah is Al-Firdaus. If you ask Allah Jannah, ask Al-Firdaus. Why? He said because the Firdaus is the highest and the best of all the Jannah, and above it is the throne of Almighty Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he believed that there is a throne to Almighty Allah. How he can deny what's been revealed to him? And Allah confirms this. I say Aman al-Rasul, that the Prophet believes. He believes in Allah and whatever related to Allah. So we are not a matter of face veil or a beard or miswak. All this good and all this part of Islam. But you need to maintain a good foundation first about your aqidah. Some people, you ask them, where is Allah? Say Allah everywhere. What do you mean everywhere? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he asked al-Jariya, he said to her, Aina Allah, where is Allah? Fa'asharat ila al-sama'. He said, where is Allah? She pointed to the sky. Allah is above the 7 heavens, upon His throne, as He established this in the Quran in 7 verses, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh al-Tawa. We don't know any of the Sahaba questioned this or debated this issue and said, oh God, no, this doesn't make you understand sense because what? You don't know. However Allah did, Allah didn't say how, but Allah told us that He established Himself in the throne. How? Allah knows this. Allah knows this. Allah admonished Iblis, telling Iblis, how come you dear, you don't prostrate to the one that I created with my own hand? خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْ. And after this, said, no brother, don't say this. Why? Allah is saying in the Quran. I'm saying what's in the Quran. And after this he found people deviating from the aqidah of the Prophet, deviating from the aqidah of the Sahaba, deviating from the aqidah of the early generation, and going to east and west, and this said, and the school of thought, and the Ash'ariyah, and the Jahmiyyah, and the Mu'tazila. Subhanallah. Do you think you're going to know better than the Prophet? So in matter of aqidah, we have to follow the Prophet. And in matter of salah, we have to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know this man who came and said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Salaam alaykum, salaam alaykum, O Prophet of Allah. See, go back. Make your salah over. You didn't pray. Wallah, brothers, listen. Do you know how many Muslims nowadays pray like this? Huh? How many Muslims pray like this? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, boom, 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 go. Salaam alaykum, Prophet. Go back, make your salah over. You didn't pray. You didn't pray. Go, make it over. What you call it salah to the inspector is not salah. He's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the one who's going to give you the check, telling you this salah or not, because he's the teacher, and he classifies this not to be salah. Say, go back, make your salah over. You didn't pray. You didn't pray. This kind of prayer is not prayer. See, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray, take his time, read the verse, and think about the meaning of the verse. And you know, like eating an apple or eating some grapes or nice cake, like the cake outside, and oh man, it's so delicious. Huh? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has this kind of taste, sweetness of iman, sweetness of salah. He was جعل قرة عيني في الصلاة, and the satisfaction of my heart, the coolness of my eyes became in the salah. When he entered the salah, in another life. Now, the Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He have munajah between him and Allah. Huh? So how the Muslim pray nowadays? Most of them, their prayer, astaghfirullah. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the man, he said, no, you make salah, do this, you do the wudu, take the Kaaba, say Allahu Akbar, read the Fatiha. And after this, when you go to ruku', take your time. Not swinging up and down. Allah Allah. What's this? Ma'in. Take your time. What's the rush for? Brothers, listen. We've been rushing all our life. What did we have? What did we do with this? Keep rushing and running, rushing and running. Even in Yawm al-Jum'ah. Oh, brother, Islamic Center of Colombia. Yes, sir. Can I help you? UMM. Philadelphia, how can I help you? What time you make salah, brother? What time is Juma? 1:50. No. What time you make the ikama in Juma? You don't want to come for the khutbah? You don't want to come for... He wants to come on the Sun Wednesday and say, have ikama, salah, salah. Brother, the office, the job, the school, everything will give it time. But when you come in salah, boom, 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 run. Is this the way the Prophet pray? The Prophet take his time. He has a private conversation session between him and Allah in salah. فَاتَّبِعُونِ. Follow me. The Prophet say, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went in the member. In the member. And he led the Muslim ummah in that time. He led the salah from the member. And he used to come back again from the member. And the prostrate in the ground, and he go back again in the member, so the Sahaba can see him. And after he finishes, he says, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." Pray like he saw me praying. What's the excuse? Why you pray like this? Why most Muslims nowadays, they are not taking their time in salah? You don't have time to the mind, you don't have time for salah. What did you get out of this dunya? You still working 12 hours? For the last 5 years, okay, whatever saving you had in the bank is gone. So what did you got? And sooner or later you're going to die. What you taking with you? Take your time. Think about how the Prophet ﷺ used to pray. Think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing in the prayer crying, weeping out of happiness and out of fear of Allah, talking to Allah, asking Allah, begging Allah. I want you, when you go home tonight, take one of the books of dua, like Hisn al-Muslim as example, and try to read one dua the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say in his ruku' or in sujood. Only one dua. Or look at example when he used to say Allahu Akbar and he's quiet. And after this, Abu Huraira say, "O Prophet of Allah, I see you quiet after you say Allahu Akbar before you read Fatih. What's going on? What do you do?" The Prophet used to say dua to opening his prayer, preparing for the prayer itself. Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب. اللهم نقني من خطاياي كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس. اللهم اغسلني من ذنوبي بالماء والثلج والبرد. سبحان الله, this is only introduction to enter the prayer. Oh Allah, set me far away from the sin, as you set the east so far from the west. Beautiful word. It's munajah between him and Allah. He's in another life talking with Allah. Oh Allah, keep me away from my sins, from sins, like he kept the east so far from the west. Oh Allah, cleanse me from my sins, like a white garment being cleansed from dirt. Oh Allah, wash me from my sins with water, snow, here, every subhanallah. And this only introduction. When you go into sujood, تَجَدَ وَجْهِ لِلَّذِي صَوَّرَهُ وَشَقَّ سَمْعَهُ وَبَصَرَهُ. Subhanallah, my face had prostrated to the one who had created and split the sea of the eyes in it and fashioned it. Is another kingdom. The salah is another atmosphere that you in. Did we ever try to follow the Prophet in the salah? Like I said, brothers, this fattabi'uni is a big commitment. It's one word. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. Say, if you really love Allah, follow me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you and forgive for your sins. فاتبعوني. I want you to remember this word when you leave. فَاتَّبِعُونِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. See, sister Aisha, subhanallah, may Allah bless you, sister, and bless all the brothers and sisters here tonight and all the Muslims. Sister Aisha, she's going to try now to spell the word and write it in her notebook. Amazing, this lady. Yesterday after the khutbah, she had all these notes. I was shocked. And she said, you said the word munkar means this and ma'ruf is this. فَاتَّبِعُونِ. I want you, when you leave today, when you're driving, keep saying this word. فَاتَّبِعُونِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. Follow me, follow me. Allah saying to follow the Prophet, follow the Prophet. فَاتَّبِعُونِ. You need actually to start to know, how did the Prophet worship Allah? How did the Prophet believe about Allah? How did the Prophet understanding about Allah? Because you need to match. Because if your driving doesn't match the driving of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are not getting your license. Neither are you getting your permit. Okay? Everything has rules and regulations in this life. But when it comes about aqidah and salah and fasting and hajj, everybody making his own rules and everybody expecting that he's passing, that he will be okay. This is a serious problem. The commitment of فَاتَّبِعُونِ means a belief in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in whatever been given to him. It means to trust the information that been given to him. It means to follow him step by step. It means to obey him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It means to love him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It means that you don't be different from him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It means that you teach and advise others concerning his sunnah and his adab and his akhlaq and his aqeerah, means that you defend him and defend his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It means that you don't say anything about the Prophet is not true, or to say this is sunnah and it's not sunnah. It means that you send peace and the blessing on him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Especially every time you hear his name, you say Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fattabi'uni is a big commitment. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand we have no choice except to love the Prophet and to follow the Prophet. And if we did not follow the Prophet, we'll be among the losers. We'll be among the losers. And Allah said, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ. Let those who oppose the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who be different from the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a trial may fall on them, fitna will fall in them, or a great punishment. Following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a choice, it's a must. This is a commitment. When you say أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله, this means I promise, I commit, I make my pledge, I will follow the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Otherwise you don't know the shahada. You didn't understand, and you need to start make the shahada again, because you say a word you didn't know it. When you said أشهد أن محمد رسول الله, I testify and I be a witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, so you know that the Prophet doesn't speak from his own desire, and whatever he's teaching you is been revealed to him from Allah, so this direction from Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire him and Allah reveals to him, so he can teach us how to be connected, how we can have the sirat al-mustaqim, which will take us to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make any difference between following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following the command of Allah. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. And whosoever obeys Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed he will be among those whom Allah has bestowed his favor on him. That if you did not follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are not going to be among those whom Allah bestowed his favor on them. You will be with who? Al-maghdubi alayhim wal-dhalin. And no one would like to be with the maghdubi alayhim wal-dhalin. Indeed Allah is saying in his book, in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 8, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whosoever obeys the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed he obeys Allah. There is no difference between obeying the Prophet and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let me, before I close this introduction, because the lecture is still here, we didn't start, this was the introduction. Okay? I'm serious, you don't believe this? Okay, here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. This is the lecture. I didn't go on the other side, okay? And I did not open it. I didn't talk from the lecture yet. This is the introduction. But because I believe that I have wise and smart people here tonight, all what you need is a hint, and after this you will go and do your homework. But one last thing I want to make it clear. Some people think the sunnah is optional. Obeying the Prophet, do things like the Prophet is optional. This is not true. Okay? Not all the sunnah is sunnah. Some of the sunnah is obligatory. Now understand it. Not all the sunnah is sunnah. Some of the sunnah is obligatory, in must. It is a must. Okay? So don't think when you hear the word sunnah means it's the way how the Prophet did it. This is the traditional of the Prophet ﷺ, how he make it. But if you did not make it according to the way of the Prophet ﷺ, the recipe is wrong. Nobody going to accept it. Alright? So something is called sunnah, i.e. optional, and some of the sunnah is a must. You have to do it, otherwise you be among the losers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us to be among the losers. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow his love in us, make us among those people that deserve Allah's love, and among those people who love the Prophet, love his teaching, and try to implement the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every area and every avenue of their life. Ameen. And it closes with this, inshallah. It's going to be the time for salah. And after this, if you have questions, comments, concern, correction, inshallah will be after salah. So we did not have to hold the other people who would like to go to take care of their business. Jazakumullah khairan for being here tonight, for listening. May Allah reward you all, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't bring anything new other than bloodshed, and this religion been spread by the sword, something close to this meaning. And we refuted this statement in the radio station today, and it shows nothing except how ignorant this person to make a statement like this. Because somebody in a position like this is supposed to read something about Islam, something about Quran, so he can make a statement like this. Because there is no similarity of what's in the Quran that in the Bible. The economic system, the political system, the social system, many things that in the Quran is not in the Bible. And it is enough honor that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the will of Allah, brought the people back to the Tawheed, i.e. acknowledging Almighty Allah to be the only true creator and the only one worthy of worship. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do anything other than bringing people back to Tawheed and the proper meaning of La ilaha illallah, this is a great honor. People used to worship idols, trees, devils, all kind of things. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought them back to As-Sirat al-Mustaqim, to worship Allah alone and not to associate any partner beside him.
Inshallah, you could share with us that for some time there's been some controversy or different beliefs or approach in respect to eating dog food. Some say that you don't have to if it's not here and so forth. Can you share with us, based on your teaching of Islam, what is the standard for that true Muslims whenever it's available in Dharma?
As long as the animal is lawful, as long as the animal itself is lawful for the Muslim to eat and is slaughtered by a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew, and the proper method of slaughtering been taking place, i.e. slaughtering the animal, not suffocation, not beating, not electrocution, will be lawful for you to eat it. So number one, that the animal is lawful, like cow, beef, buffalo, camel, sheep, goat, this is the animal itself has to be lawful. Secondly, the proper person to slaughter the animal, which is a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew, alright, not Hindus, not Buddhists, not anything like this. Thirdly, is the proper method how to kill the animal, which is to slaughter the animal, not to suffocate the animal, not to beat up the animal until it dies. So this is the three conditions, okay, that to be done, and Allah knows this.
The sister wants to know example about what is sunnah that is obligatory and what is sunnah that is sunnah. Very close and easy example that praying Zuhr, the Zuhr is 4 rak'at. Zuhr is 4 rak'at, this is a must. Praying 2 rak'at or 4 rak'at after Zuhr is sunnah, is optional. You don't have to do it, but it is recommended to do it. Now to pray Salat of Zuhr according the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is obligatory, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, pray like you pray, you saw me praying. So now, how did the Prophet pray? We have to pray like the way of the Prophet. So this is sunnah, but is obligatory in the same time. And Allah knows this. I don't, Jihad, if you can see this other part of the question.
Okay,
the second part is, can sisters be barefoot in Salah?
Sisters can be barefoot in Salah as long as her feet is not exposed in the prayer. Okay? Your feet, the upper part of your feet have to be covered during the prayer. So if your upper garment is covering the upper part of your feet, it's fine.
Can
Like I said, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a compulsory or obligatory upon the person to love Allah. And loving Allah means to love the things which Allah loves. As example, Allah is saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. Indeed, Allah loves those who purify themselves and those who repent to Him. So we have to always hasten to purification, ghusl, wudu, istinja, and also to make tawbah when we make istin, something wrong, something haram, that we repent to Allah. And the more you get to read and to know about Allah and the greatness of Allah, the more that you love Allah. And the love is the essence of ibadah, because if you obey someone out of fear, this is not ibadah. And if you obey somebody out of love, this is not ibadah. So you have to have fear and love to be called as ibadah. For a person to worship Allah, he has to do this out of fear and out of love. Out of fear of punishment of Allah, and out of love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves our submission and our ibadah. So reading more about Allah, reading the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing the acts and saying the things which is pleasing to Allah, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, remember me, I will remember you, and the acts which is mentioned in the Quran. The Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in the Hadith al-Qudsi, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به وبصره الذي يبصر به إلى آخر الحديث. Nothing that a slave servant can get closer to Allah better than performing the obligation. So we have to spend time to master the prayer, the the fasting, all the obligation to try to do it right. And after this, we try to get more closer to Allah by performing optional deeds. Okay, extra prayer, extra fasting, things like this. Okay? And the more that you do optional, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. So this is the way to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you found a lot of verses say, إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ صَفَّةٍ إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَاهِرِينَ. You see all these things. So you need to go and read all these verses which bring about the love of Allah to the doer of these things and do it, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair, and Allah does this. Fadala.
Can a man
with
an exchange or bracelet and any other
all kind of jewelry for a man is forbidden, doesn't matter it's made out of silver or gold or metal, with exception of ring or a watch for purpose of knowing time, not for decoration. For a simple fact that jewelry are imitation for the wearing of the women. أو من ينشأ في الحلية وهو في الخصام غير مبين. So the jewelry is from the for women, not for men. Alright? Wearing necklace, wearing earring, wearing understand ankle bracelets, all the things. This for women. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم telling us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares a man who imitates a woman and a woman who imitates a man. So you are not supposed to wear any jewelry except a ring, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had wear a ring, and the ring of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was made out of silver. Other than this, we did not wear any jewelry, and Allah knows this. Sister, we have 2 seconds more. If we did not hear from you, we're going to close our gathering, inshallah, because the brothers be waiting to go outside to have this nice delicious dinner, inshallah. Tafadhal. Yes.
Yeah,
you get what?
The customer carrying the alcohol. We have a right to refuse it.
Inshallah, akhi, is no blame in you, as long as you did not go intentionally to pick up from these places, okay? And you are not responsible about what he's carrying. You are not promoting it. You are not carrying to transport it. You understand? You are not carrying the liquor or the khamr with your choice, neither you carrying it to transport. To transport it to be manufactured or to be sold. You understand? So this is a different case, inshallah. If you can avoid it, alhamdulillah. If you are not, inshallah, no blame in you. But at least you hate it in your heart. Yeah, because this is the minimum of objection to the evil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. You have a question? Thank you, brothers, for being here tonight. Inshallah, enjoy the food. And enjoy the nice beautiful books inside, outside, and inshallah tomorrow we're going to have a short talk about Ramadan after Salat al-Dhuhr, and after this I'll be going about catching my flight, inshallah. We'll see you next year. Jazakumullah khair.